studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Cliff, I told you not to bring the live turkey into the studio again. You catch that bird?
No! He's liable to get hurt.
I tell you, get him off the desk, will you? I mean,
gotta protect him.
He's coming up, Cliff, but I tell you this every year. Go to the store, buy a turkey that's... Look out! Somebody get this bird out of here.
Yeah, but these turkeys that you buy in the grocery store just have no personality.
I could do without that. Hang on. Nibbling on my foot.
Well, there could be worse places.
Frank, get in here and get this bird out of here.
Could be nibbling on your ear.
Yeah. Hang on.
I saw a thing about turkeys the other day, and they can get mean. They can get downright mean.
Yeah, they can't when you bought in here.
Turkeys can fly, too, by the way. Wild turkeys can fly. I thought turkeys couldn't fly. I saw a WKRP episode years ago, and it emphasized the fact that turkeys can't fly. Well, obviously, turkeys can fly, just not the ones that we fatten up for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they can't do very much distances, though. They're pretty big, just like this one that, thank you, Fred, that you brought in. I tell you this every year, Cliff. Don't buy the live bird. But do you listen? No.
Well, it makes it harder too, because when you buy the live bird, because somebody has to, well, you have to go back and get another one so you can cook, because you certainly can't cook the live one.
I know, but I know you also want it very fresh too. But anyway, despite the chaos, it's Thanksgiving week, I believe, and this is Oregon Update. I'm Robin over there. Picking up turkey feathers.
I'm Cliff. This is Cliff. Me, Cliff. Hi, Cliff.
Him, Cliff. Me, Robin.
With one F.
With one F. He was shorter than F. Actually, short for Clifton.
Yeah.
But anyways, 646-721-9887 is the phone number if you'd like to join this conversation on Thanksgiving week. We got a lot to cover today. The chat room, both chat rooms are open, the one with Blog Talk Radio. We do have a guest in the chat room already. Welcome. And our other chat room, which is on our homepage at krbnradio.com, which you can participate fully without having to have an account, unlike the Blog Talk Radio versions. Hint, hint.
All you have to do is put in a name, and it doesn't have to be any name. It can be any old name you want, just so we can identify that there's somebody there.
Exactly. And that's at krbnradio.com. And if you happen to be listening to the show in the archives, you can still participate, or we can send us a message at talk@krbnradio.com. We always appreciate the emails, keep them coming. And if you do happen to catch us live, great, give us a call. Once again, 646-721-9887. And there's a lot going on in the news today. We'll touch a little bit more on the Occupy movement. We got some updates regarding the candidates and some world news today. Cliff, you want to start off?
There's lots of things going on, I tell you. It's all over the world. But the one thing that's a little concerning to me, of course, is this thing that's going on in Egypt. We thought we had that all solved and taken care of. But in Egypt, they're uprising again. And it doesn't make much sense to me. I'm a little confused about it all. I've read enough about it. But they're having a big uprising, and it's only 9 days away from election time. They've got the elections coming up this November, and then they can change everything. But I guess everybody's really concerned because way back, what was it, February, that they did this whole thing and had their big uprising and changed the government and to put the military in charge. And the military was hesitant to do it anyway, but they were forced into it. And now, of course, the general public seems to be very upset that the military is doing the same old things that Mubarak did, and they think that Mubarak is still running the game from behind the scenes. But to wait until this late and to do anything about it, it doesn't make much sense to me, because they're just so close to actually going in there and having their election and changing everything that's going on, it just doesn't make any sense to me that they would, because, you know, the 28th of November is when they're supposed to do their election. So, you know, live with it for a few more days and do the election. And now everybody's getting so afraid that there are people that were running for our office that are not going to run for office because they're afraid if they do, they'll have something terrible happen to them. I don't blame them. You know, it gets rather, I think they're doing them, everybody's doing themselves a disservice here at this particular point. So, Egyptians, listen up. Stop this stuff.
That's right.
Not good.
Actually, you know, it's kind of on that same line, what I've been saying in several shows, that 2012 is going to be very interesting, beginning with the Occupy Wall Street movement, which seemed to have gone global, you know, riots and protesting all around the world. And I think the face of the planet is changing right before our eyes.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's going on that's really upsetting with the Occupy movement. The Occupy Oakland people have decided they're putting together a pretty organized group of people there, and now they're calling for the Occupy movement to close down all of the ports up and down the entire West Coast. And that's just absurd. Of course, so what's happened here is exactly what I was a little worried about, because at this particular point, the union people are stepping up and getting behind the Occupy movement. And the union, and with the help of Obama, Obama's all for all the union people. And they're, if you think about it in the past and in history, the union people are pretty violent folks. They just anything to do to get their point across. Burning, shutting down businesses, that's all just par for the course for the union movement. And now that they're behind the Occupy people, that's going to be what's going on there. But they want to go for the entire West Coast, which what's most important about that to me is Longview, Washington, which is our neck of the woods, is being hit by that too. About 500 longshoremen have stormed. They've got a brand new $200 million terminal in Longview, and on Thursday, they carried baseball bats, they smashed windows, they damaged railroad cars, dumped tons of grain from the different railroad cars, and went after police cars and things like that. They're doing major damage, and so consequently, this peaceful demonstration ain't no longer, that's for sure. So I'm a little worried. We've got to do something about that before it gets out of, well, maybe it has already gotten out of hand, I don't know, but something definitely needs to be done about this Occupy movement, because it's getting nasty.
Well, I know in Portland that they're getting a little fed up with it. There was, I believe yesterday, another march that they're actually planning to go into neighborhoods. And there's another movement called the Anti-Occupy movement. So you're going to have the two of them clashing together. And, of course, I don't know what that's all about. It's like, okay, we're going to be the Anti-Occupy movement. We're just not going to occupy anything. And so, obviously, they don't get noticed.
Well, I think they should be the anti-occupy movement by occupying the occupiers.
Yeah, but if you have the anti-occupiers occupying the occupiers, then wouldn't the occupiers, anti-occupiers become the occupiers, and that would make them the, never mind.
Well, hopefully they cancel each other out. But the point is, the only way they're going to cancel each other out is for the law enforcement to do that, and everybody says, well, you know, and the thing is that I'm very upset about the whole Occupy thing anyway, because, you know, they're supposed to be nonviolent, and here they are violently taking over my park. They're in not in my particular city in this particular case yet, but the simple fact of the matter is, you know, people do visit these parks, and if they don't visit them, they like to drive by them and see how, you know, pretty they are and things like that. And the simple thing is that when you got tons of grody people in there, it kind of messes up the whole idea of the park. Plus the fact that in several vicinities and cities, they've shut down the streets in front of the park, and there are businesses on the other side of the street that no longer can do business, and there have been millions and millions of dollars lost because of the Occupy people. And that was, I thought, the whole idea was for them not to do things like that. But this whole Occupy insert city here has gotten out of hand, and it's going to get worse, I'm afraid.
Well, and I hate to burst your bubble, but in your hometown of Cottage Grove, if you go by the percentage of population and the size of your park down there, your Occupy movement will consist of a homeless person and a woman pushing a kid in the stroller.
Now, we'll have no more of that. Absolutely no more of that. Is that the homeless kid in the stroller? Or the homeless woman with a kid in the stroller or whatever? Well, I guess they weren't together, were they? Anyway.
It's a very small town, folks.
It is a very small town. But and you know, maybe we have somebody occupying the park. I don't know. But it, like you say, it's small enough we didn't notice.
I'm occupying.
But,
by the way,
the
turkey's eating your chips.
Oh, fine. Fine. I've got a sugar. Can't starve the poor turkey to death. So then it doesn't make for good eating. Of course, I'm not going to eat him anyway. So.
Well, you're not keeping him here.
He's there. I ain't taking him anymore. Sorry. Guess what? But anyhow, the whole point is this Occupy movement has got to stop. And I think it's going to, because the different communities, it's not just one or two communities, but most of the communities are already getting upset. And they don't, you know, the Occupy people get upset and say, why don't we be told what to do? I don't want to be told what to do. Now they're telling us what to do. I'm going to occupy this. I'm going to take over that. I'm going to do this. Well, you know, you have to live peacefully amongst each other, and they're not doing that. That's the problem. And so consequently, unfortunately, normal everyday citizens are going to get upset, and they're going to start doing something about it. And there's more of us than is of you.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, take a look at the big picture, though. I mean, people, well, at least originally, in the beginning of the Occupy movement, people were there for their own personal reasons. A lot of them had commonality, like unemployment, jobs, the way the country is going, student loans, and other things like that. But it gets to the point that, well, for one, if they did have more of a coherency, I guess, more of a point for being there, you know, instead of, well, we're just here, it would have gone a little bit further. But now I just think that...
Well, I heard in one place where they decided to take over an empty house. There was an empty house on the block, and they went into an empty house, and they decided they could house 40 people in one house. Now, that's not safe. That's not good, because that's going to end up being just an absolute pit before any time at all has gone by, because you can't house 40 people in one house. And so consequently, and so if they're going to try doing that, and they were just taking over the house, it belongs to somebody else, and they just decided, well, there's nobody living in it, so we're going to. This is not the way things work in this country. You just don't do that. I could understand maybe a government agency finding some houses and opening them up and letting, you know, helping out in that way, but you don't do it by just taking over somebody else's private property, whether it's occupied or not. So consequently, it's becoming a very outrageous movement, is what it's being, and we just can't let that, because if that continues on, that can create all kinds of hassles for everybody involved. So it's got to change.
Well, conversely, though, that'd be just like I agree with you about taking over somebody else's house. And I know that in Portland, they thought about renting like a stadium or some big arena or whatever. But then that's just like the old George Carlin joke, where a man has barricaded himself inside of his house and nobody cared.
Yeah, really, really. Well, but the point is, if they can afford to rent a stadium and move in there, then why are they out there?
Well, in fact, that's the other thing, too, is that they actually had some funds donated and somebody ran off with the funds.
Well, that's what's happening when you got that kind of an organization where there's nobody in charge and nobody involved. And you're right. I can see us where that is a major problem. So until we get some logistics straightened out, and unfortunately this Occupy Oakland group seems to be getting their logistics straightened out, but they're going in to cahoots with the unions and the longshoremen, and we know that the union people, that's been a problem for a long, long time, which is, well, no, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, but are the unions, are they really getting involved, or is it just the media and everybody trying to make sense about what the people are complaining about.
In Longview, 500 longshoremen stormed the $200 million terminal in Longview.
Okay, but is that part of the Occupy movement, or is that separate?
That was the Occupy movement.
The Occupy movement. Okay, I didn't hear that one.
There.
Speaking of, I wanted to put this out to you since you have the opportunity to kind of watch the news a little bit more. Now I know Nancy Pelosi has commented on the occupiers. You know, her basic thing is the peasants are cute. But has Obama commented on them? Have you heard?
Well, Obama is a strong supporter of the unions. He's a big supporter of the unions, and he's considered a part of the Occupy movement. I don't recall what he has actually said, but he has come out in favor of their movement. Not lately, I don't think, but he did at one time. But I don't have down. I don't have a statement on what he said.
Exactly. I wonder where it's going to go, especially versus the Tea Party. I know there's been a lot of comparisons. Again, you still hear people, even this week in the media, talking about the Tea Party, how they're racist. You don't hear that much about the Occupy movement.
I don't think the Tea Party is in any way, shape, or form compared with the Occupy movement. The Tea Party is organized. They do have a lot of money. They do things that are good. They don't stay out in the park overnight and live there. I mean, I've heard these Occupy people, and they were taking them out of the park the other day here. I believe it was right here in Portland. They were saying, "This is my home. You can't take me away from my home." Well, no, the park is not your home. It never was your home, and it can't be your home. You know, that's just as bad as you know, taking over my house that I own down the street. That's not going to be your home. That's simple, unless you're ready to buy it or rent it or do something. But that's not your home. If you want to do something about that, we can negotiate. But until something happens, this is not your home, and so consequently, you've got to be prepared to leave.
Exactly. In fact, one of the things they've been complaining about the Occupy movement in Portland is, not surprisingly so, is that a lot of homeless people started showing up there. Of course, you know, I guess there's food and everything else, and that was kind of to be expected, and the Occupy people were complaining that these type, within quotes, of people, showed up there and were starting to be a problem.
Well, you know, I'm a little upset about this, the homeless people, and I understand why they would do that, and I'm all for that. I think that's great that the homeless people found a place to get a free handout, but it used to be, I'm old, and I remember the bums down along the side of the railroad tracks and stuff like that. They worked with each other. They helped each other, and they did things for each other. They were an organization, very loosely an organization, but they got along with each other. The homeless people nowadays are just, everyone's out for themselves, and everybody, I don't think there's any, hello, I don't think there's any, I don't know what you want to call it, help.
I told you not to let the turkey anywhere near the control board.
I see. It's the chat room, and this particular chat room that I put in here, if you don't do anything, it locks you out.
At least it's friendly.
Okay. But anyway, nobody seems to want to get together and do things for each other. The community is no longer a word that people understand, I don't think. The only kind of community that actually works in our society is gangs. And gangs are nothing more than a community of young people that works. And because it doesn't necessarily go our way, we get upset about gangs. But gangs are a community that works, and it's the only one that we seem to have that works. And so we need to work on being communities and working on being groups of people that help each other. If it requires churches to get involved and help out, that's fine. I don't mind that, but it doesn't need to require that. A community can be someone other than a church. And so we need to find a way to get to communities going and to help each other and to work with each other and to make everybody, to be less homeless, let's put it that way. It's this time of year, homeless are a problem. And I noticed our old friend Cindy Wheeldryer, by the way, is busy now already on the helping people find a place to stay out of the cold. The shelters that they're putting up. I heard her talking on another radio station in your town about that, and she's getting that program running again already. So more power to her. She does a lot of good work that way. I'm really happy that she does get involved. And
for those who don't know, Cindy Wildreyer was on our panel for a while there. She's a former Lane County commissioner with a heart as wide as a ship.
Yep. Big as the old outdoors and bringing people in to warm up.
Exactly. But you do bring an interesting point, though, and that is, people not helping people. With all the homeless and everything, there used to be a time, like you said, when churches and everybody would get together, they would help, that people would help help people at least try to find some sort of work. Back in the, when was the Depression? The government put together some programs so that, like for helping to build the infrastructure, like the CCCs and whatever, but, to try and help regenerate the economy and to help get it going. Well, of course, they ruled that CCCs were unconstitutional. Other places, like overseas, I think it's in Japan or China, one of the two, that has these rooms set up that they look like big pipes. But they're indoor housing, and they're warm. They're just a sleep area. That's all they are. But unfortunately, if somebody over here tries to do something similar, well, then the government steps in and says, well, these are not good accommodations, and disallows them altogether.
Yeah. That's one of the things, of course, that we've been talking about in our political agenda, is getting rules and regulations. There's an awful lot of rules and regulations that are unnecessary and that are being, I understand the reason for them coming about, but there's an awful lot of them that are really unnecessary, and we need to get rid of some of those so that we can actually help people instead of hurting them. It's interesting because, that's getting into the next segment I wanted to talk about, and that's Newt Gingrich's idea of the fact that we need to get, child labor laws. Newt has a statement about child labor laws, and he's not thrilled with child labor laws at all, believe me. And it's because, we cut out an entire segment of our population, and it's the segment that's going to do something. They're the real go-getters. The kids and the young people in our society are the real go-getters, and when you tell them they can't do things and you tell them they can't work and they just got to sit around and do nothing, they're not going to sit around and do nothing. They're going to come up with something to do, and unfortunately, we generally don't want to go along with what they will come up with, because what they will come up with, I'm going to rephrase that. A lot of people consider mischief. And then in a lot of cases, right, it probably is mischief. But we're the ones driving them to that. We're the ones saying you can't do anything. You've got to sit around and have fun. You've got to be a child. Well, guess what? Being a child can be pretty stupid at times and do some stupid things. And like it or not, they're going to do them. And so unless we can keep them busy, when before all of this took place, they were out working on the farm and doing things, and they were kept busy, and you had your chores to do, you had this to do, you had that to do, and if you didn't do it, you got a tanning. So that was what kept people in line, and these kids in line. Well, we don't do that anymore. We sit around and moan and groan and bemoan the fact, oh, my children don't mind, my children don't do this, my children don't do that. Well, get off your dead ass and make them do it, But I'm talking, we can't do that, because if you whip them, then that's child abuse.
Oh, yeah, they'll call 911 in a heartbeat. That's what they teach in schools. But if you think about it, now, I don't know if it's true today, but 10, 20 years ago plus, if you were a kid raised on the farm, as soon as you could walk, you were out there working on the farm, and as soon as you were big enough to reach the pedals, you were driving farm equipment.
Lady, you better think twice.
It was,
it was not 20 years ago. It was more like 40 years ago. Sorry.
time has passed. But even still, the point is that, kids could do it. I mean, when I was a kid, I was out there in the field, picking strawberries, beans. I even used a big old sharp knife cutting rhubarb.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and you couldn't do that now because you might nick yourself.
Cut my finger. I also believe, are you ready for this? Okay, I know this is going to be a shocker. I rode a bicycle without helmets and knee pads.
Oh, my God. I'll bet you rode one with a knife in your hand once, too.
That I did not, no.
Oh.
I was smart enough to know not to run down the hallway with the scissors in my hand. But the point is you know, what I term the bubble wrap society that we have the kids today, and it's getting worse. You know, the farmers are complaining they don't have enough help. The kids are complaining that they want something to do. They'd like to make some money. Government's complaining that the kids are getting obese. Well, duh.
Well, and it used to, well, we're not going to get into the obese thing because it used to be obese was the thing to be. But anyway.
Well, I remember, I mean, when I was growing up, candy was, you know, you had penny candy, nickel candy, quarter candy. For a buck, you can have a big bag of candy. And I don't recall there really being an obese problem or overweight problem. But then again, we had.
Well, that's real easy. How did you get the buck?
How to get the buck?
That was a lot of money in those days.
Gas with a quarter. But, yeah, I had a motorcycle that would go 100 miles to the gallon, literally. So on a quarter, I could go a long ways. But either, but I kept coming back besides my parents.
I can remember Three Musketeers was a nickel and four times as big as it is now.
Oh, God. But the point is, you know, we had PE. We had other stuff. You could have kids. You could get together. You could drag the gut. Which does not mean somebody pulling you on your belly. That means taking a street and just cruising.
See, I was just pulling it back to when you could drive. That's not being a kid as far as I'm concerned. You're adult by that time.
Exactly. There's something to do is my point.
At least you should be an adult.
But anyway,
it's not allowing you to be an adult. Even at that age, they're not allowing you to be an adult. And that's the crime, because at 16 years old, when you can drive, it could back then anyway, at 16 years old, you were well old enough to hold a job and think for yourself and do a lot of things. This whole business that children, you know, 16-year-old people can't think. I hate to totally disagree with you about that, but they can think. As a matter of fact, there wasn't that many years ago that 16-year-old people were the majority of adults, and they were doing most of the work, and they were holding jobs, they were keeping farms alive, they were out with six shooters shooting people. They made major decisions all on their own at 16 years old, and now they're still children and should be out playing with the kids.
That's right. Well, I remember because I used to deliver newspapers, and now there's child labor laws that says you can't be out in the morning delivering. Well, you know, you can't be out in the morning.
Yeah, really.
Speaking of labor and everything, I just want to take a quick break here. And first of all, remind people that you can give us a call right now, 646-721-9887, on this or any other topic that we have. And also talk a little bit about Dancing Dog Cookies. Dancing Dog Cookies, they are homemade, made-to-order cookies. They are made fresh, and they're actually made by a husband and wife team of all-natural ingredients.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
That's right. Check them out at dancingdogcookies.com.
We need to get dancing kitty cookies or something like that myself. If the dogs get to dance and eat cookies, then so should the kitties.
That's right. One of these days, this was my dentist that was calling. One of these days, I'm just going to put them on the air.
Your dentist? Or when he calls in?
The program is like, I'm gonna conference you and just, good afternoon, you're on the air live.
Yeah.
And don't be embarrassed. Yep. We're only Christian-like.
You have to be careful doing that, that they know what you're talking about, that they know that they're actually on the air. People get upset.
Yeah, they get upset, but people don't know what I'm talking about anyways. Anyway, 646-721-9887, and we started talking about Newt Gingrich and the child labor laws, and which kind of leads into more of what's going on with the candidates. Cliff, you got anything?
Yeah, basically right now, it's interesting to note that Newt Gingrich is actually on top in a couple of the candidates' polls, and Herb McCain was up there for a while, and of course, everybody's picking on poor Herman Cain. Gingrich does things a little differently in that people are picking on him too, but his life has been such an open book for so many years that it's really not big, that big a thing. You can find things to pick on him about, but everybody already knows about them in most instances, so it's a little late to pick on him, and he has an answer for most of them anyway, and most of them are pretty reasonable. Taking money, this whole business about the money he's supposed to be taking, well, he actually worked for it. He actually, if you want to call that work. See, what Newt Gingrich does for a job and to get paid for is considerably less than what other people would consider being a job. He is a historian, so he does remember things, and so an awful lot of the time he gets paid for giving advice. And if he gives advice to somebody and gets paid big money for giving that advice and they still ignore him, that doesn't mean he didn't do his job. He still did his job. He just, you know, you can always ignore his advice, and but you still have to pay for it, ready or not. So anyway, Newt Gingrich has come to the top of the polls. Herman Cain was there for a while. Romney... And right now, the only two names that the GOP are really considering seriously would be Romney and Newt Gingrich. I was beginning to wonder if Newt Gingrich would ever get to that point, if they'd ever consider anybody seriously except Romney. But Romney he's got a lot of things that he's got to check, you know, an answer for as well. So we're working on that. But right now, basically, I think Michelle Bachmann, unfortunately, is probably pretty much out of the running. I don't think there's much left for her at this particular point in time.
She was even on Glenn Beck this morning. It tells you where she's gone.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Some people use that Glenn Beck thing. Rick Perry, of course, and his blunders. I personally don't find what his blunders were that much of a problem. Everybody can lose track, and everybody can lose their train of thought, and believe me, at my age, I know what it's like to forget about something, and it's a lot easier to forget something that you were talking about yesterday than it was you were talking about 40 years ago for some reason or other. So short-term memory, I don't think he's that old, but it's coming up on him, and it does happen, ready or not. And anybody who's of any age at all will agree with me on that. So I think everybody can have some sympathy in their heart for what Rick Perry did.
It's not just age. It's, put this out there to the listeners. How many times has anybody in their lifetime set their keys down and forgot where they put them?
I'm not going to comment on that because I always make fun of people who do that, because you're not supposed to just set your keys down. You're supposed to be a little more organized than that. I always know where my keys are. Always. Always. There have been a couple of times when somebody else moved them for me and I got lost. But
yeah. But you know where I'm going with that.
Yes, right? I know. It's not just keys. You could set anything down and forget where it went. And I've done that a million times, and oftentimes lose it for weeks.
Yeah. In fact, I've even done this. I've teased one of my bosses about this because he did it, and I finally wound up doing it. Looking all over for my keys, and they're in my hand the whole time.
I'm not going to talk about looking for my glasses, and they're on top of my head. I never thought I did that either.
Yeah, but the point is, like you're saying, is like everybody has what's known in the industry as a brain fart.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't make any less of a person, but the fact, the way the media is, oh, my God, he screwed up. He couldn't remember his third item.
Well, I got really upset the other day at a news person when the Herman Cain was standing there talking about something, and he just stopped and he thought for a while. He thought for about 25 seconds, and thinking of what his next answer was going to be, and the news person got all upset. Doesn't he know? Can he talk? Can he think? Well, of course you can think. But there are so many answers running around in your mind, and you've got so much on your mind to talk, stop and think before you open your mouth. And that, I think, is I give him kudos for that. He stopped and thought and then opened his mouth. Most of them will open their mouth, say something stupid, and then have to come back and retract it or regret it or whatever. So we've got some media people out there that are getting really carried away, and it's just too kind of sad. That's what you have editing boards for, is to cut out the pauses, because if there wasn't any pauses, I don't believe that person is really answering a sincere question. Because
and you're in a forum too. I mean, well, in a sense, we're in a forum. You know, once we say something, you know, we can't take it back. It's out there. But they're in a forum that every word is scrutinized.
Yeah, that's it. Every word. I oftentimes say things that I don't necessarily mean, and then try to go back and work around them or something. But I sit here all the time and go, ooh, and I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say next and how to put it. And sometimes there's been times that I just stop and don't put it. And that's oftentimes safer.
That's right. Just like that darn phone number, you know.
Yeah, 646-721-9887. That's a good number.
Yeah.
That's a good
That is a good number. Short backstory on that one, though. There's one time that my other job conflicted with the schedule, and so I decided to call in the show, and for the life of me, I've given out this phone number multiple times, and I could not, for the life of me, remember the phone number, so I had to call Cliff on the cell phone during the program and go, what's the number?
You know, interestingly enough, though, to come to your rescue or whatever you want to name it, I've been in the broadcast business for an awful long time, and when I'm reading things off the line or off the page or wherever I'm reading them from, those don't go in my mind. I read them out loud, and my concern is to do the properly, to do the number correctly, but I don't remember that number. I've read this number, 646-721-9887, a million times. If I had to remember it tomorrow, I wouldn't. I don't remember that number. I read it. I have it literally written down on a pink piece of paper in large letters that's been sitting on my desk right in front of the computer for literally 2 years now, just sitting there so I can glance in it whatever I want to and read it and not have to worry about having remembered it. And I don't remember it. If I were to walk away from it, I don't remember it. So, sorry. But
yeah, you're the only radio broadcaster that I know of that has a teleprompter.
Well, I've got lots of teleprompters, let me tell you. I've got two television screens sitting here that are showing me different things and reading off of them. All of the stuff I do, I've read. I have to write it all down or take notes and have stuff sitting up there ready to pop up and be able to see in order to remember it. Otherwise, there are a few things that I will say, I remember seeing this or whatever. But if I'm going to be sincerely accurate about anything, I have to have it written in front of me. That's just all there is to it. There's no way around it.
I want to change gears here for just a little bit. I got two words that might get your blood boiling, and if nothing else, it's a good topic. But we have a deadline coming up this week, and those two words are super committee.
Oh, yes.
Now, the thing that's kind of funny, listening to the talk shows and everything, you know, the Super Committee, which the talk shows have renamed them to something I'm not going to say on the air, but nobody is surprised that they are failing their job. And what I want to throw out with is this is the same group of people whose attitude is, and it seems like I say this every program, why read the bill?
Well, in this particular case, there's no bill. They're the ones writing it, but supposedly. But the point is, they've read the bill. They understand what's going on. But this committee was doomed to failure right from the very beginning, because of the simple fact of who put that committee together. That was Obama himself. He put it together to have somebody to blame, and that's just all there is to it. So, consequently, there was no possibility that they were ever going to accomplish anything. what was going to happen has already been named. This last ditch thing, this, what do they call it, sequestering or whatever it is, it's going to happen. That was already predetermined. That was already determined a long time ago, and that is going to take place. But even that is not going to take place. The simple fact of the matter is, the Congress makes the rules. And so consequently, they're just not going to let this happen. They're just going to change the rules as soon as it gets to that point. And so it's all going to slowly but surely fade away. And what's going to happen is exactly what's happened in the rest of the world, And we don't sit back and watch the rest of the world, obviously. We're just sitting back and letting it take place and doing our own thing. And we're going to fall flat on our face. That's what we're going to do. And this whole thing is going to go under. But it's a possibility. It is just as absolute minor, minimalist, whatever you want to call it, possibility that we could pull ourselves out of this because of the simple fact that we have an election coming up. Now, our election is coming up in about a year, a little over a year, whatever, and when that changes, when we change so many people, and we better change so many people, then consequently, we could actually change the direction of what's going on in the United States of America. And that's what we have to look forward to. A lot of these other countries are changing their government right now, right as we speak. What is it? Greece, Italy, Ireland, Spain. Spain just had an election, and they're just now doing it. They're changing their government as we speak and trying to figure out, what was it, one of the governments, I think it was Italy, where the new incoming government is going to be changing everybody and getting rid of all politicians and putting businessmen, high-powered businessmen, in every position because they're the ones who should know what's going on and how to pull the country out of the kind of doldrums that it's in because they're running successful businesses, and hopefully they know what they're doing. But that may not be the case either, because there may be enough difference in running a country than running a business that it could be different. So, but the point is, we've got other countries that we can sit back and watch as to what's going on right now, and I don't for a minute believe that we're actually going to do that. I think we're going to sit back fat and happy on our dead butt and let it all fall flat on its face. But if you will please pay attention, go to krbnradio.com, krbnradio.com, and when you go there, right on the front page, it tells you when the next debate is going to be. And over on the right hand of the page, in red, it tells you the next several debates. And you can click on them and see when and where they are. Click down there on the bottom of it, that's where it's underlined, and it'll bring it up in a different page and tell you when and where the actual debate is. Get in there and pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to these candidates and what they're talking about and what they're doing, because it is up to you to make a difference. Not them. It's up to you to decide which one of them is going to be the one to have the opportunity to really make a difference. And I don't mind telling you right now, my opinion, it needs to be Newt Gingrich. Simple as that.
Well, and I want to get back to Super Committee here for a minute, too. You know, the government's already extended the deadline as far as the budget goes again. The Super Committee fails. You know, they're going to have their triggers. I'm going to try and look up here and see exactly which cuts are going to be automatically triggered. But I guess one of the things that really frustrates me is that, the importance of the Super Committee and what its function is supposed to be. And to me, it seems like our leader and chief should be more involved with it instead of worrying about campaigning.
No. His campaigning is what he's worried about, of course. But he wouldn't be involved in it in the first place because he set it up to fail. So it's going to do exactly what he wants, no matter, he doesn't have to help it.
Well, I think that kind of goes without saying, but again, I guess in a way I can understand why having a smaller group look at it, but let's see, there's what, 12 members on the Super Committee?
There's 12 members on the committee, and just like has been said, that is the most insane thing. If you got 440 people in the Senate and the House that could be debating this and could be figuring out and working on this, why have you cut it down to 12?
Well, that's the point.
Cut it down to 12. So, there's no possible. Well, we know why he cut it down to 12, because that way there's only 12 people that are going to be blamed for this whole thing. And how did he decide what those 12 are? Do you recognize any of the people on the super committee?
Not really, no.
That's right.
What are their qualifications? Do they have the...
if they're a member of Congress, they should have qualifications.
Well, I mean, if you look at what it takes to get elected, I mean, you don't have to have any qualifications, really. You just have to get the vote.
You have to have qualifications. It's called money.
Well, yeah, money. Money, obviously, to get in there. But other than that, I mean, you know, you could have got your wealth through inheritance.
You see, that's why that he did this. He wanted somebody to blame. He wanted somebody to pick on, and he didn't figure he could pick on the entire Congress. So he picked out 12 poor people to be involved in that, and consequently, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to fail, and the rest of it. But the point is, it doesn't make any difference. You say they have all of these places that the money's supposed to go, and the cuts that are supposed to take place, and all this kind of thing. That's not going to happen either. Because it is Congress. Congress makes the rules. And so Congress is going to go and say, well, okay, we're supposed to cut $600 billion from the budget, the defense budget, rather. But we can't do that because, Colonel so-and-so or General so-and-so doesn't like that. So we're going to take that and cut that in half. It's only going to be $300 billion instead of $600 billion. And then we've got to find $300 billion from somewhere else. And they're just going to... almost said something terrible. They're going to mess it up. And consequently...
Don't make me hit the dump button.
Really. And consequently, it's going to be a moot point in the first place. So, we should just ignore this entirely and go... The big thing is we've got to change the government. We have got to change the government. That's a simple fact of the matter. We have got to change the government right now because without it, there's no possibility that things are going to get better. That's only going to get worse. Our credit rating is going to go down. Everything is going to go down. Interest rates, I'm not going to debate whether this should go up or down because we've got all kinds of philosophies behind there, but it's all going to go wrong unless we change who's in office. And right now we have a position. The polls are now indicating that the president's chances of getting reelected are really, really bad, and so consequently they very much doubt that he's going to be. It's all on our side at this point, but unfortunately we've got a year to screw it up. We've got to get on the ball and pay attention to who's running and make it a positive thing out of this whole thing. We've got to change most of the House, most of the Senate, and the president.
Well, and also one thing I want to point out, too, I heard this the other day on the talk shows, and I just found the information on it. And it really kind of shocked me because, again, you know, what the super committee is there for. And then to find out, okay, bottom line is our government can be bought, and this is a good example of it. The PACs, the top 10 organizations, or top 10 contributors, to the super committee members range from, I don't have the total, I think it's like $1.2 million or something like that, but it ranges from Microsoft with $822,000, University of Columbia, $652,000, Goldman Sachs, $605,000.
Goldman Sachs, the same company that we gave the money to.
Exactly. Citibank, $584,000. JP Morgan Chase, $533,000. UBS, $451,000. Atkin Gump, whoever that is, $435,000. Morgan Stanley, $393,000. Are you noticing a pattern of the type of businesses that have been donated?
We just bailed out before.
The industries that are contributors, top industries, of course, are lawyers and law firms,
mm-hmm.
followed by securities and investments, health professionals, et cetera. And the law firms is $31 million.
The point being that the legislators make the rules, and so consequently the idea that you can only contribute so much to a campaign goes by the boards because these PACs can contribute as much as they want to. And this whole thing, we've got to get back to, measure 28
Well, I don't know which one it is, but the point is why is anybody Why is anybody giving money to the super committee in the first place?
Well,
that's what I don't understand. And by the way, I do have a list of the members here. They start off with Pat Toomey, T-O-O-M-E-Y, Republican, Pennsylvania. John Kyle, Republican, Arizona. Rob Fortman, Republican, Ohio. Patty Murray, Democrat, Washington.
One I do know because she's from Washington.
John Kerry, Democrat, Washington, or Massachusetts. Max Buckus, Democrat, Montana. On the Republican side, you got Jeb Hennessing, H-E-N-S-A-R-L-I-N-G, from Texas. Fred Upton from Michigan. David Camp from Michigan. Chris Van Hollen from MD. That's what's MD?
Maryland.
Xavier Benkera from California and Jim Clyburn from South Carolina.
So there are two or three out of that that I do recognize, but that's about it. But, I mean, he's thrown them under the bus. That was the whole idea from the beginning, was to throw them under the bus. Why they accepted it, I don't know. Maybe they had no choice. That's a possibility. But in my opinion, he's just simply throwing them under the bus.
Well, where does all this money that these companies are I don't have the grand total here, and I don't have time to total it up. Where's all this money going that all these companies are contributing to?
Individuals and their campaigns and things like that. See, the thing is, we've got to – it goes back to this amendment. Congress shall make no law that applies to citizens of the United States that does not apply equally to senators and representatives. And Congress shall make no law that applies to senators and representatives that does not apply equally to citizens of the United States. That would basically solve almost everything. I mean,
as a private industry, like I remember all the large corporations I've worked at in the past, if you want to give a Christmas gift, it cannot be over, I think, $5.
Well, that's each industry, and that has really almost nothing to do with this. The simple fact is that, if I wanted to give something to somebody, I can do that. I just can't do it at the company party, so to speak. But the simple fact of the matter is it's the people who make the laws that have to be in check. And at this particular point, obviously, there is no check. And there is no balance. So consequently, this would make it an imperative. But then, you know, what happens? This is going to be put in there, and it's going to come into law, and then people are going to ignore it just like they're ignoring an awful lot of the laws nowadays. The laws are there to be ignored at this particular point, and that's not my way things should be done.
Well, you know, I'm going by memory here. Where's my keys? Anyways, in Portland, I think it was the transportation head of transportation got in trouble recently for taking contributions on the side, which is clearly against city regulations. And, of course, he got fired for doing that. I think that, I think the federal government should have that same thing. Once, you know, because you're serving, it used to be you're serving the office help America, you know, your constituents, and the other was for the honor of serving the office. Now it's been nothing but a profit-making venture, self-serving venture for themselves, and in these numbers here, this is a lot of money to be spread up over 12 people.
Well, see, this is not new. This is not something that just happened. This has been going on for a long time, and we've tried to make laws in the past. There are laws that you can't take contributions. There are laws you can't take contributions from foreign countries. There are all kinds of laws, and we ignore most of those. But the simple fact of the matter, this one, this 28th Amendment, spells it out specifically and leaves no way you can possibly misconceive what was being said, and why we aren't making that an absolute must, I don't know. That's the part.
Of course, then they get around it too by saying, "Well, okay, I understand you can't take the contribution directly. What's your favorite charity?"
Yeah, that's the thing. No matter what you do, and no matter how many laws you make, there are going to be ways to get around it. And so that's why, in my opinion, we need to change the people and we need to change the system. So this business of being able to stay in there for life, to be able to make a career out of being a senator or, or a representative, either one, it has got to end. You can only go for one term. That way you don't have to campaign for more money. You don't have to campaign for your next office because there isn't going to be one. You can be there for 4 or 6 years or whatever they decide that term can be, long enough to do your thing, and then get the hell out. And if you can make a few bucks in there at that particular time, to a certain extent, that's okay. It should be made hard to do, but it should be done. But the simple fact is we've got to change the basics, the very basics of what we're doing, not just how we're collecting money or soliciting money.
Well, and as I'm just reading here, this is on the Department of Justice website, they specify under Regulations 5 CSR Part 2635 what contributions can be accepted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, you know, from gifts from outside sources, et cetera. And this was put together January 20th, 1993. And I'm kind of skimming over it, but nothing in here says that you can accept large amounts of money.
Right, right.
You know, you get involved ethical. But you're right. It should just basically be you are there to do your job. And one of my preaches is about the check and balance system, whether it be a vote of no confidence. But we should have something in there. When we got people that come in, like you say, they've made it a career. And if you look at C-SPAN, how many people don't even show up, and then have...
You're bringing that up. And a lot of what you see on C-SPAN was done that way on purpose. These people go in when they know there's not going to be anybody in there, and they're not going to interrupt what they have to say. That's why they're there when there's nobody there.
Right. But, I mean, instead of having a full forum, but even still, you know, when you have the attitude of you have to pass the bill to know what's in it, or why read the bill, or other things that you hear in the news about, you know, I guess my point is that we put them there to do a job. And we put them there because, in reality, by nature, you hold them to higher standards than just your average neighbor. That's why, you know, we elected them. You know, you're there at a high office. I mean, in Congress, is a high office.
Well, maybe we better get off of our high horse and realize that you can't hold these people to higher standards. Why could we hold them to higher standards than we hold ourselves to? Consequently, we need to make the situation so that they can't screw it up. They can't take advantage of those positions and use them to their benefit nearly as easily.
Well, then maybe we need to change our system so we can get more directly involved. In other words, it's like a board of directors on a company. If the people that are running the company have proven that they are not fit to run the company, then they get voted out. But, you know, maybe we need to shorten the times or have a better checks and balance or have some type of at least an attendance thing. You know, you're required as a senator or as a congressman to at least make an appearance. I don't know. I think
you find they have that. Like I say, this thing that you're seeing on C-SPAN is by design. I mean, these people are going in there to make these statements and these speeches when they know no one is going to be there.
And, well, I think you should run for president and just give them hell.
I've got so much baggage, I'd never get past the second week.
You never know. You might get elected.
And that's scary.
Anyway, 30 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887. We still have a few more topics on the board, but if any of this or anything else that you've seen in the news or would like to, a topic you'd like to bring us, give us a call. 646-721-9887. Or you could just call just to try it out and say hi, too. We'll go along with that as well. We always like phone calls. We got plenty of phone lines. Lines are open.
That's true.
And Cliff gets really excited.
7219887, 646-721-9887. One of the other things that we need to talk about, of course, is our lovely president and his total ignoring of laws and rules and regulations and the Constitution and such, and his business of all of this executive orders that he's doing. He's got they're not brand new, but I just found them, and that's 6 new executive orders that he's working on right now. That I think it was October 27th or something like that, that he assigned them into business. But basically, this whole thing, it's a very Fast and Furious was one of these things, and he's just ignoring the rules and regulations. All powers not delegated, I get the word out, to the government by the Constitution or prohibited by the United States. He's decided he can do it no matter what. I'll just do it and I'll sign it into law, and I double dirty dog double dare you to make me stop. And nobody's doing it. Nobody's making him stop. So we've got to come up with something to work on that to calm him down, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, there is no way to get him out of office at this particular point. I agree with you that maybe we should work on that and try to figure out how to do that. But we haven't at this particular point. And so consequently, he's just ignoring all of the rules and signing more executive orders constantly.
Well, maybe that's the thing, too. You know, what is the... limits of what can he do, what he can't do?
Well, that's my point. He's already gone past what he can do, and he's still doing it. That's the problem. He doesn't seem to care. We aren't stopping him. We're just letting him continue to do it, and he's sitting there doing it. He's changing things a lot. I mean, not just a little bit. He's changing the banks. And his last one of his executive orders that he signed in is a plan to work on creating infrastructure projects and spending more money. The process will be speedier, but he's going to spend $10 billion investing in national banks and making things go that way. He's changing the No Child Left Behind reauthorization. He's changing it. He's reauthorizing it. Let's put it this way, and he's changing it up to suit himself. So only whatever he thinks is right is what's going to happen, regardless of what anybody else thinks. So he's changing that. That's his second one from this October thing. Small business growth incentives. He's working on that. He's calling it the engine of economy. But basically, he's taking and making different tax breaks and changing tax breaks and helping small businesses, supposedly, and he thinks anyway. And he's doing major changes and cuts on that. Relief for distressed homeowners, he's playing with that. That's going to screw up our housing situation even more so. He's changing the student loan business. He wants to make it easier for people to get student loans and take them longer to pay for them, and so on and so forth. He's you know, all of these things, granted, probably need to have something done to them, but and the one big thing he's got now, he's gone on television and said, well, if you're going to hire somebody, hire a veteran. Every veteran needs to have a job. Well, you know, standing up there and saying that isn't going to do anything. But that's one of his things he's working on changing. These are all executive orders, different legislative wishes of his, and he's now changing his wishes and replacing them with executive orders, so they're taking place.
The thing is, if I can throw in this comment real quick here, is like the veterans, for example, any federal job, veterans get I think it's a 10-point advantage over anybody else applying. A lot of companies will give veterans privileges. In other words, he's passing something that's already there. Same thing with the student loans, making it so that it's easier to pay the student loan. But the rules that he's passing already exist. Like, for example, while you're in school, you don't have to make a payment on your student loans until 6 months after you graduate.
Yeah.
But he's making all those changes. This is a really big deal. We already got it. You're not changing anything.
Well, he is changing it, though. I don't have it in front of me exactly what he's changing, but each one of these things, there are things that he is changing in order to make it easier, or in a lot of cases, it may not make it easier. It may be riskier, but he is changing the student loan program. It may not be a lot. It may be a lot. You don't know. But I don't have time to get into each one of these. This is just a mini little scan over each one of them, that's mentioning them. But that's each one of these things he is actually making changes in. Well, he, as a single entity, is not qualified to make these changes. I mean, this is something that needs to be talked about and looked at, and an awful lot of them, I agree, need to be changed, but a lot of them need to be removed and replaced. But it's not up to him as an individual to do this, but he's doing it anyway.
Well, I just had a terrible thought. Do you think that there's, with what's going on in the background, do you think there's any chance that somebody, because I know they talked about this when Bush and others were running, about changing how many times the president can run for office and the length of the term.
Well, that's,
I'll tell you, the thought of a 6-year presidential term scares the life out of me.
Not if you can only run once. You can't go in for another term. You're there for 6 years, and that's it. And that way, we need to, but the whole point boils down to what I've been blasting people with for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Pay attention. Watch the debates, because there's no way you can find out more information about the candidates that are running for office than watching the debates at this particular point. That is the important thing to do. You've got to watch those debates, and that's how you can find out who to vote for or when to vote for and why, is with the debates. There's no other way to find out what's going on and what those people think. I mean, you can do it if you really wish to sit down and do a lot of work. You can go online and you can type any person's name for each particular one and bring up the information and read the information. But these debates, it's being spoon-fed to you. Now, I agree some of these debates are not as good as others, but most of these, CNN and Fox and most of the major debates, these people are learning how to do it. And one of the things that I really give them kudos for is they're doing more and more about using the actual comments and questions from the audience in the world, for that matter, off of the internet, and putting those to the candidates. And I'm all for that. I think they're doing a fantastic job of that now. And there are a couple of them that I've watched that weren't that great. This last one, which was on Saturday, was supposed to be on C-SPAN and didn't show up on C-SPAN. They did have that debate, and I got to see part of it. And I'm going to go back and try and find a place to see all of it, because it had people sitting down at a table and talking, the main group of people, the same candidates. And I guess that was pretty invasive into their privacy, and somebody said that a couple of people actually had tears in their eyes by answering some of these questions. And I will have to admit, in this particular case, it was a church group, I believe, that did this particular debate. But it was important enough to these candidates that they all went there. And I was really upset that it didn't actually get broadcast on C-SPAN, because I would have liked to have seen that. And I was sitting there in front of the television waiting for it, and it didn't happen, so I went in and checked it out. But anyway, we've got a lot more of them coming up, and you can always go to krbnradio.com, krbnradio.com, and on the front page, the next debate will be posted there. I will make sure it's posted there, and they're all posted under the right-hand side in the red part of the page, so even if it wasn't posted on the front page, you find out when and where they're going to be. So, and there's a bunch of them. We need to be a part of what's going on, folks, because you're voting. It's on your back. And from now on, if you, I've hollered and screamed and yelled and jumped up and down enough. So if you don't vote and you don't do this right, it's your fault. And I'm going to come and get you. Well, it's really getting frustrating, because you've got a chance to change this. Now, I really honestly think we're going to do some major, major changes.
I want to interrupt you here just for a moment. And we have a caller on the line that's been holding for 8 minutes. Again, I apologize for the long. And as I go ahead and hopefully it'll work. There you go. And area code 832. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on a couple things that you guys were discussing. One is, the empowerment that we the people don't have over these officials once we elect them. And I would like to correct that, because we actually do have the power to throw them out early, and it's called a petition. But like you said, you've got to get enough Americans off their butt into the game and make a decision, make a change. I'm with you guys, it sounds like, for the most part of, there's a lot of things that our government is doing, and they're taking away our rights every day, just, piece by piece, and the American people are not responding. They're just saying, they shouldn't do that. And you can go into any coffee shop in America, and you'll hear people say it, but I don't hear anybody saying, let's get together, let's vote them out, let's petition them out. And that's something that it needs to be done.
I have a question for you. Say we were to get up petitions to actually remove President Obama from office, who would we put in his place?
Well, that's a very good question. There's a couple alternatives coming up because, like you said, we are up for some big change. If you look at Americans Elect 2012, whoever wins the independent election there will be on the ballot in all states. I think Americans need to start looking at independence. Get away from this Democratic Republican Party BS that we keep hearing about, and elect Americans. And with today's internet, we don't have these million-dollar professional politicians get out there and spread their word. I mean, yeah, they've got $10 million budget, but you've got a guy in Ohio that just ran for governor. And he spent, if I'm not badly mistaken, he spent $200,000 against an opponent with $10 million. Now, he didn't win, but the point is he got like 10 or 12% of the vote. So, whether or not his message was clear, there's a lot of things that he could have probably done better. But the opportunity's there. I mean, with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, people can get a message out around the world now in a minute and a half. At the earthquake. When those things started, everybody knew about it in a minute and a half.
Yeah. Okay, but let's go back again. Let's say we recalled President Obama. Would you let Vice President Biden take over then, or would you want to get rid of him too and go for Boehner?
No chance. We would have to have a special election.
Well,
yeah, that'd be about the only way you could do it. But to give what's going on with the Occupy movement and everything, people, like you're saying, they're getting out of this little groups now of complaining, and they're getting together as a force. No matter what you call the Occupy movement, if you look at the big picture, people are getting out there and they're getting involved.
People are getting fed up.
Exactly. And they're looking for a leader. I mean, if we get the right independent, and everybody says a lot about Obama, but listen, Boehner has backed off of Obama. He's had him in a corner 3 or 4 times on different issues. And what does he do? He backs off. He's a professional politician. He's no better than Obama. That we've got to get away from these professional politicians, because if they've got Democrat or Republican stuff behind their name, then they're already bought and paid for. I mean, if you look at the Republican National Committee or the Democratic National Committee, those guys have 7 figures sitting in the bank to pay for these elected officials that they put in office. And we've got to get senators and House reps in office that are not beholden to those guys. Because if you get the Congress behind you, then the president can be virtually powerless. But you've got to get the right Congress put together.
Well, so basically, is there anybody on the GOP candidates list that you would consider as a president?
To be perfectly honest with you, no. I'm all for getting rid of everything that says R&D associated with it and put eyes up there. I would even consider a libertarian or a constitutionalist before I would consider them.
Downside of that, though, is just like when Perot ran, a lot of people were behind him. But then we got this issue of the Electoral College, where he got 0 electoral votes and had no chance of getting elected.
Well, and you know what? That's another thing that 13 states, my last reading, 13 states are trying to get away from that. So if we've got 13 states trying to get away from it, all we've got to do is get a few more, and then, you know, we'll get some real attention about it. But people's got to talk about it. It's got to become, you know, part of the issue.
This gets back to the basic question that we do have to have some basic major changes. Now, my next question, I don't know, you may not have had time to think about this, but what would be the starting point? Where would you start making some of these basic changes in order to change our political system? Because there are probably 10 different major things that need to be changed in order to straighten it out.
State level. I think the states need to take more initiative at state level decisions, and the federal government needs to let go and do that. If you get enough states trying to make independent decisions, well, our state leaders are the same leaders that go up to Washington. So if the states are inclined to be independent again, then it'll happen. That's why, you know, we've got to start with our state leaders, and every state's got to participate, or at least, you know, 60% to 75%.
So basically, we need to. Basically, we're coming up on presidential election, so we need to do something to allow the states have more. So basically, it would be Ron Paul, who, although he's running as a Republican now, is basically a libertarian, would allow the states to have more power, would give the executive power or the national power back to the states. Would that be the way you want to go?
Absolutely. I mean, the Federalists, and you may correct me on the date, but in, I believe it was 1887 when the Federalists come in and helped rewrite the Constitution. It took away a lot of the powers of the states, and the reason being is because states like New York was just killing Jersey and Connecticut on taxes for imports because they had the biggest port at the time. But we can get back to sovereign states, or not, you know, I don't want to say completely disassemble the United States, and that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying, though, is give states some sovereignty and let them make decisions on stuff like abortion. That's a state issue. That's not a federal government issue. Border patrol, you know, that's a state issue, and it's a federal government issue. But in our original Constitution, that's what the militia was for. The state militia would guard its own borders. So, you know, Arizona, that law in Arizona, they should have been able to pass that. They shouldn't have had federal government sticking their nose in going, oh, well, you know, that's unconstitutional, because it isn't. It's exactly what the Constitution was written for, so that each state could manage and govern itself. It keeps states in competition. I read a poll the other day that was saying that the states that are right-to-work states have declined their unemployment, some of them as much as 2%. But all of these states that are not right to work, and you got to be a union and a part of the union, they haven't grown in their they've grown in their unemployment. They're up another point and a half. Why? Because, you know, once again, the government's going to tell us how to work, where to work, even state government. And you know what? People are going to move out of those states, and they're going to go to the states where they can find a job, because people want to work. I mean, you know, Americans, you know, we might be lazy in that some aspects of the things we do, but mankind as a whole wants to take care of their family. That's what being a man is in every nation in the country, you know, on the planet. So, you know, people are going to go find work, and if these states have got the federal government and the unions out of the way, then that's where they'll go. They'll relocate to go work. And, you know, you were talking about Occupy a while ago. Occupy did a thing in D.C. Guess who was paying for it? The Veterans Administration nurses. You know, the nurses union from the VA was in Occupy. Well, I don't know about you, but those guys make pretty good bucks. You know,
That the unions are backing this Occupy movement. It's become very apparent lately. And I think that's something that Obama himself has pushed.
Well, it's one of his cronies. I read the guy's name, and I don't remember it, but it was one of the guys he wanted as part of his administration, and everybody in D.C. was like, this guy's too radical, he's been involved with too far out there politics, and we just don't want him in the White House. So I think Obama found him a job outside of the White House.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Let me throw a question out to you. I brought this up on previous programs with the issue of Obama and the birth certificate thing. What I found out, and I was kind of shocked about it, because, like I say, we had one of our periodic guests on the program is a former Lane County commissioner. When elected into office, unlike you and me, when we go apply for a job, we have to fill out an I-9 form and prove that we have the right to work in the United States. To hold a government office, you do not have to prove that you're a citizen. Do you think that should be changed?
Absolutely. And I might be wrong, but I thought that's what the whole the e-filing program where they had to run Social Security for every government position there was.
E-Verify.
E-Verify, there you go. That's the program.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody in a government position taking tax dollars for a salary should be definitely confirmed as a U.S. citizen.
I think we have a tendency just, again, as Americans, we get fat and happy and laying back on our butts and doing nothing. And I think, again, we get tendency to ignore some of these things. For example, that particular thing, we just assume it's already been done, so we just don't pay any attention to it. And then we find out later the media has a tendency to dig some of these things out, and then we find out some of these things haven't been done. Well, sometimes, you know, he's already a president. What are you going to do, kick him out?
Absolutely.
I wish we had him, but
it shouldn't even have been a second thought. It should have been instantaneous. Either prove it now or go home.
Really?
That's why I think that we should change our system to kind of go along with the 21st century to, like, borrow a little bit from Parliament where we can have a vote of no confidence. Because right now the impeachment process is so long and cumbersome that by the time you actually get them impeached, you know, it's time for re-election, or they've already done so much damage anyways.
Right. Well, I don't know that it could be done within a year, and you're right, at this point we're pretty much stuck with it for the game. But I think a year, the impeachment process, especially if you do it through the petitions, I don't think it'll take a year. I think if you have the right petitions and the right people, you know, pushing the issue, I think it would happen. The problem is you've got so many people out there right now that, you know, you got all the union people, you got a lot of people unemployed that are liking Obama. They've got their hand out and the government's taking care of them, and that's great. But what we're starting to see now in the past 2 to 3 months is the 2-year unemployment program falling apart.
Yeah.
More and more I see, you know, people on the internet going, hey, my unemployment's out. I work for, you know, work for food, work for peanuts, whatever. I need work, rake the yard, clean the house. And now those people, by the time we get to election, those people are going to be looking for answers. You know, the free ride's over. There's no jobs. Any job that's created is going to be created on tax dollars. I mean, if Obama wanted to win the election tomorrow, in my opinion, all he's got to do is let them start processing oil in this country. Instead, what does he do? He closes down the pipeline from Canada. What an idiot. I mean...
Exactly. Well, half the country right now, according to North Dakota.
Well, more to the point of the whole thing is the fact that the pay structure or the has to change. Everybody... There's such a disparity between the top wages of the union people or non-union people and the bottom wages. So we've got to take all of these right now, almost if we'd listen to other countries in the world, and we've got to take and pay attention to other countries because they're going through the same thing we are. But if you listen to other countries, you'll find that their austerity programs are cutting down how much their government employees are being paid by at least a third, and some of them up to a half. Granted, they're not happy about that, but that's got to be what happens in order to change the entire, to save their economy. And so we've got to start considering that. We've got an awful lot of people that are being paid for, and not everybody can work for the government, my friend. Somebody has to work for somebody else. And so we've got to change all those government paychecks and bring them down. I don't want to cut them off entirely because then we have a bunch of unemployed people. But we need to bring down the amount of money we're paying federal employees as compared to citizen employees and equalize them out and get everybody employed again.
Well, that goes back to a balanced budget. I mean, if our government, and I don't have all the numbers, so we'll just use some hypothetical ones. If our government is taking in $1 trillion a month and it's spending, you know, $1.2 trillion a month, you got to cut out $0.2 trillion, period.
Right.
It's not a question of if you want to or whatever. And most of the money that goes out is in subsidies and BS like that can be cut. And I'm not talking about Social Security because, listen, that's a whole different program.
People have already paid for that Social Security. That's not a handout.
That's right. That money's already supposed to be in the bank. Now, our government's borrowed against it and put bonds on it, but that's, you know, that's something, that's a whole different program. That's a whole different
right.
subject. But you know, if we cut the excess of use, like Border Patrol, first of all, and I hate to kick on Border Patrol, but Border Patrol isn't something that the federal government should be doing. It's not a part of the Constitution. That's what we have National Guard for. We pay those guys 2 weeks a month or 2 weeks a year to go out and do exercises and practice with live ammunition and do all kinds of neat little things that they do as soldiers. Well, you know what? You could send them right down there to the Mexican border, and we could Border Patrol with them guys and cut out the whole Border Patrol out of the budget. Don't need
yeah.
them. The state's yeah. got their own National Guard.
The problem with that is that they're not taking the security of our borders seriously.
Nobody
That's
is.
Exactly right. I mean, listen, you got California, you got Texas, where California just passed a law, and I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but California just passed a law about a month ago that says if you graduated high school in the state of California, you can get loans for college and be illegal. Well, you know, how can this be? Schools are funded by the local taxpayer.
We have to start enforcing the laws we have on the books. That's one of the things we have to do. We're running out of time. We're going to have to go because I appreciate your call, and you're very, very informative, and do call us back again, won't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.
And you have a good day.
All right, you too. Thank you.
It's a great to have him call. Too bad we're all running out of time, but it is true that basically we've got to come up with a beginning place, and that's the thing to think about. But right now, the simple beginning is we've got to elect a new Congress and a new president, and so that's the thing to do at this particular point. Again, I'll harp again on checking the debates, look at the debates, watch the debates. I wish we could come up with a person completely outside of all of the parties, the Republican and the Democratic Party, but I don't see any possible way at this point of doing it. That's not the beginning point of what we can do. We have to get the election out of the way and elect somebody at this particular point, and hopefully somebody who will slowly but surely give the states back the right to run our country, the right to govern our country, not the federal government.
The federal is the one that's really making how it people are getting involved. But that's all the time we got for the day, folks. Again, thank you for our caller for calling. Great call, by the way. Again, we'll be back next Monday at this same time, 1 p.m. Pacific time. If again, you can send us emails, talk@krbnradio.com, especially if you just want to say hi or have a topic that you'd like to discuss on next week's show. And we'll be back in next week.
Have a good day.
To check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.